Welcome to a very special episode of Bench Talk, episode 29, titled Emotional Intelligence, How Does It Rank With Your Success and Leadership Skills? And today we have with us Joanna Avin, an emotional intelligence coach. This is a very special episode because we recorded this in our community, in our live community called High Achievers Level Up. This is a private space where we bring together early to mid-career professional women who want to build a powerful network of colleagues, increase their productivity and efficiency, and find better work-life balance to learn, share stories, experiences, and ideas, grow together, become more effective and confident so that we can level up our careers and lives with impact and define them on our own terms. This episode is the live recording of our session with our community. Listen in. I am so excited. Thank you guys for joining. I'm so excited to continue this journey with you and bring you another great expert to help support you in your growth and journey as well. So I want to dive right in because today we're talking about emotional intelligence and how does it rank with your success and leadership skills in your career and really in your life, right? So with us to lead the discussion, we have Joanna Avin. Joanna, say hello.
Hello, everyone. And thank you so much for joining this evening session.
Thank you. So I want to give you guys a little bit about Joanna. Joanna is an entrepreneur and CEO of Heartwork Precision. And Heartwork Precision has over 20 years of analyzing, designing, developing, implementing, and evaluating training. Joanna is a facilitator, life coach, motivational speaker, and business owner who inspires her clients and audiences to lean into their discomfort to become the difference they want to see personally and professionally. She is certified in emotional intelligence through EQI and EQI 360 assessments with high performance systems. Incorporating the core principles of emotional intelligence within her curriculum, Heartwork Precision has assisted various organizations in understanding leadership styles, conflict management, diversity and inclusion, consultative sales, and et cetera, to reduce turnover, increase productivity, and boost team morale. That was a lot. That was a lot of words, but Joanna, welcome. And I'm so excited to have you here. I want you to tell us a little bit more about your background and what you bring.
I have to tell you, and welcome again, everyone. I was in corporate America for years. And there was a time when I knew that I had to take a leap of faith. I was just speaking with someone a moment ago, talking about that leap of faith. I had to take a leap of faith because I began to discover that there's some information about emotional intelligence that the world needs to know. As I got certified in it, I said, you know what? I have to begin to package this information because this is information that is going to change people's hearts, change people's minds, and give them an alternative way of being able to make better decisions. And so I got certified in EQI and 360, as Janet said. I've been working closely with emotional intelligence for the last 10 years. I would not do anything else. I love what I do. I have a passion for what I do. And because of that passion, you know, if there is something that you are very extremely confident about, it's not a job. To me, this is work that will begin to change the hearts and the minds of people. So I've worked with nonprofit organizations as well as for-profit, some of the nonprofit Urban League, Boys and Girls Club of America, the Faith Center, which has a congregation of over 10,000 members. I've also worked with for-profit, Convergent Technologies, which is really big in the East, internationally and domestically. I've also worked with FAU, with specifically their Upward Bound division. And so I've had a lot of opportunity, and there's other companies, I'm not going to go through the entire list, but I've been able to begin to practice a lot of these strategies that I've learned to really empower leaders and people on their team. And if you know anything about emotional intelligence, the work has to start with you. And so I had to put in the work as well. And so a lot of the information is not just me giving it to you, but it's because I had to do the hard work of the heart as well. So thank you so much, Jackie, for once again allowing me to be a part of the program this evening.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So let's dive in. Let's dive in with the very first question or topic that I have, which is really about what we're here to talk about. For those who are not familiar with the deep dive of what emotional intelligence is, Joanna, tell us what is emotional intelligence and also what it is not.
Okay. So emotional intelligence is having the ability to understand, to recognize and manage your emotion in positive ways, right? When you can begin to manage your emotions, those emotions is going to help you achieve greater success in relieving stress, communicating effectively, empathizing with others, and just overcoming daily obstacles and challenges as it relates to conflict, interpersonal skills, intrapersonal skills. So the topic of emotional intelligence can get very dense, right? It's very rich information, but I'm going to tell you what it's not at the same time. Emotional intelligence is not saying, oh, well, I'm an emotionally intelligent person because I can control my feelings. So I really don't need emotional intelligence because I can control my feelings. That is one of the greatest myths about emotional intelligence is emotional intelligence, realistically speaking, you cannot control your emotions because they're instinctive. They are triggered. You don't have to teach a baby to cry. You don't have to teach a baby to be sad or to be happy. Instinctively, when something happens, that baby is triggered. Now, what you can do is you can respond differently to what you're actually feeling. So just because you think you can control emotional intelligence says the area in which you think you're controlling, you actually need to self-regulate, which is a preemptive decision, right? One of the other myths that I want to talk about is emotional intelligence is common sense.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody should know about, you know, emotional intelligence. It's just common sense. Everybody should know about it. It is a skill set. Mm-hmm. It is a skill set that requires development. It's a skill set that requires, in my training, practical application. Because a lot of the times when you're talking about emotions, people are thinking it's this abstract, obscure type of state of mind. And it is. These are tangible skills that you need to have to be able to manage relationships personally and professionally.
I have to confess that before we spoke, I thought it was common sense. I didn't know. I'm like, okay, I'm emotionally intelligent. Come to find out, I wasn't.
Right.
No, to an extent. So no, all jokes aside though, Joanna, I do have a question about that. Is it a spectrum? Like where you fall in that, or explain a little bit more about that, because I want to know more on what that looks like, what that is for individuals.
Right. So the training that I received was based on the five pillars of emotional intelligence of Daniel Goleman, where he speaks about self-awareness, self-regulation or self-management. He also speaks about motivation, empathy, and social skills, right? And so there is an assessment that you can take to see exactly how you fare in these different categories. And then based on that assessment, it will let you know exactly what key areas you will need to work on to be able to increase the skill set of any of those five pillars. So you can be strong in self-regulation, but really miss the mark in empathy. So it's a cumulative assessment, but it is an assessment where it would give you individual feedback on some of those areas and how to develop those skills.
Can you talk a little bit about the difference? And it may sound really elementary, but as it relates to emotional intelligence and regulating or controlling your emotions, what's that difference? Because to me, kind of sounds the same.
They kind of sound like cousins.
Right? I can regulate and control. Is that not this? Like, what is that?
I love that. That's a great question. So self-control is the ability to control your desires or your moods in the moment. In the moment. So you are controlling what you say, what you do in the moment. Self-regulation says, before I have to control myself, I'm going to make a preemptive decision to manage or redirect those impulsive moods, impulsive emotions. And I'm going to do that so I don't have to control myself in the moment. So for instance, this is a big one in my class. Mm-hmm. Triggers.
Who has them?
Yeah, I mean, a very few amount of us have triggers, right? So the thing about emotional intelligence says we have an understanding that if someone pushes my button, then they, whatever they get as a result of them pushing my button, they deserve it.
Because you shouldn't have pushed my buttons.
And so self-regulation says, if you have a trigger, you can't stand liars. And so when people lie to you, all of a sudden you feel this intense level of emotion. A self-management says, you have to begin to look at, why am I feeling this angry? Why am I feeling that? Because people can only push buttons that you present. If you don't present the button, they can't push the button.
I'm laughing because this is almost like you're coaching me right now. I coach my clients. I'm being coached right now. Yeah. No, repeat that again, because I think that is very important. Repeat just that point in and of itself is key.
Okay. So people cannot push buttons that you don't present.
But if you're, so, and this is where I was going with that, the question I was going to have, awareness.
Yes.
Right.
So in order for you to be able to not allow people to have power, because see, when people push your buttons, what you've done is you've now given them power in how you respond and react to it. So they push your buttons, you scream. They push your buttons, you yell, you curse. That person actually has the power. They're actually playing you. So self-regulation is going to say, you know what? I got to get to the root of where this lying comes from and why. And in my classes, I'm just letting you know, a lot of the root of our triggers is a result of some type of childhood related event. And the amygdala is the portion of your brain in the limbic system that stores your memories and your emotions. So they come together as a package deal. And so, for instance, if you were a child 7 years old and your parents lied to you constantly, they kept saying, I'm going to be there. I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. As a child, you can't tell your parents, why are you lying to me? Why do you keep telling me you're going to? And so what you do is you begin to harbor fear, you begin to harbor anger, you begin to harbor anxiety. And what happens is that when somebody else says, you know, they're going to do something and you find out they're not, those same emotions, because you never resolve them, is what ends up coming out. And so the oppressed becomes the oppressor. And that's why self-awareness is needed, so you can begin to manage those emotions before you give people the power.
You know, it's really interesting. And we talked about this before. For those of you who saw the clip or saw on Instagram, one of the things that I do, because I'm in a leadership role and I'm very aware professionally. Yeah. I'm very aware of the groups that I work with, right? Very diverse groups of people. And I'm not just in my life and career coaching, but in IT consulting. I'm very aware. So whenever there's conflict, I ask myself, who am I speaking with at this moment? Who am I interacting with at this moment? Am I interacting with the 49-year-old man in front of me? Or am I interacting with the 7-year-old within?
Right.
And a lot of times I say to myself, and I always do this, it's either there's that age group, and I don't want to go too deep into the psychoanalytical piece of this, but from 7 to 12-year-olds, you know, sometimes we're stunted there.
Yes.
And a lot of times at work, and for those who are on and you have conflict at work, and sometimes you're watching conflict or you're seeing this, think about, it's not necessarily what's happening in that moment. It's what those folks have brought to that moment. Right. And so I'm really aware whenever there's conflict or there's a situation that this is just very uncomfortable, who am I working with at that moment? You know, and I act accordingly.
Right.
You know, I don't stoke the flame. Right. Because I'm like, there's some issues going on there that has nothing to do with me. Yeah. And I'll see conflict with other team members, and I see the teenagers going at it.
Yeah.
Or the 4-year-olds going at it. And then here comes, you know, and when you're in a leadership role, you have to be aware. You don't have to be analytical, a psychologist or anything like that, but you have to be aware of the situation, who you're dealing with, how to deal with that. And I think if you're self-aware, it's much easier for you to be in that leadership role. And now I'm almost afraid to say control the situation, but help to direct what's happening, right? Wow. You want to speak a little bit about that as far as, you know, us, especially as women, we're in, you know, the workplace, and let's talk a little bit, let's kind of shift a little bit and talk some about conflict, you know, and how we show up and what we see and us as leaders or those who are aspiring to be leaders. What does that look like? How do we approach it? How should we approach it? I sometimes hate to use the word should, but just talk a little bit about that as it relates to us women in our careers, right?
So Jackie, I'm glad that you brought that up, because Talent Smart, which did research for emotional intelligence or emotional quotient. You may hear me interchange those two. They pretty much means the same thing as an indicator of emotional intelligence, whether it's quotient or intelligence. But Talent Smart did the research and shows that emotional intelligence is the strongest predictor of performance. So it's something that you are going to need in your job to be more successful. One of the things that relates specifically to your performance is how you are able to resolve conflict. One of the big misconceptions about conflict, normally when I ask people, when they think about conflict, what comes to mind? Normally they say a argument, a fight, a disagreement, things of that nature. And we have to change how we even view conflict. And a lot of the times the conflict starts within first. You know how you just said, Jackie, before you even, you know, go into conflict, there is a mental war. There's a struggle within. And so when you learn conflict resolution, conflict escalation, conflict de-escalation, conflict management skills, and you learn it from an emotionally intelligent place, is really going to drive different strategies of how you actually have to. I know a lot of people don't want conflict, but one of the things that emotionally intelligent people will tell you is you're going to have to run to conflict. Yeah.
I don't want it.
Yeah. Like, when you run to conflict, conflict is something that stretches certain areas about our teams, within our leadership, like collaboration.
Yeah.
If you look at the end result of what conflict is going to bring you, then you will be running to conflict because it's going to establish a certain level of trust. It's going to establish a certain level of loyalty, a certain level of peace. But the opportunity there is that people did not receive, of course, some healthy strategies and how you resolve conflict in a way that is effective as a leader and for your team. And so because certain people were not given those tools, then all of a sudden they want to run from conflict. But when you have the tools to do conflict in a healthy way, it's going to produce beautiful benefits for your team and for yourself within.
I have to ask you this, and I'm writing this down because before you even said it, I just wrote this down, healthy conflict.
Yes.
Healthy conflict, it's almost... I mean, I want you to really dive into that because I'm thinking about toxic work environments.
Yes. Right.
And healthy conflict.
Yeah.
Like, is help me to understand that. Help us to understand how is that even possible? You know, what is healthy to run to and what's unhealthy as far as toxic, you know, and that's a very strong language.
Yes.
To move away from.
Right.
And also, I'm going to sprinkle a little, again, as women, because we inherently come with certain things,
yes.
Right? And how we've been groomed. So help us with that. Help us with healthy conflict and toxic environments when we should and when we shouldn't.
So I want to first dispel one myth about emotions in women.
Mm-hmm.
We'll kind of start there and then we'll work our way through.
Okay.
One of the things that we were talking about in our first cast together was, are women more emotional than men? Right? Is that a true or false statement? And I got to tell you, according to the National Institute of Health, there is no genetic makeup that says that women are more emotional than men. But Jackie, just like you were talking about a moment ago, there is a level of conditioning.
Yes.
Right. That not only women, right, receive, but men receive.
Yeah.
Depending on the culture, depending on the environment, you have some women that are in tune, have a certain level of attunement with their emotions and how they can express them and how to direct that energy. Because remember, emotion is energy and feelings that's going to drive you to action or away from action. So just because you feel emotion, it doesn't mean that you have a skill set to be able to manage them effectively. Just because you know what you're feeling, it doesn't mean you know what to do with what that feeling is. And so that's why emotional intelligence is a skill set, because it has to teach you to not only just know what it is, but how do you preemptively begin to do things that are going to provide a more healthier state in within the relationship. So what is healthy conflict resolution? What does that mean? Conflict is a natural resource. That's how I do. It's a natural resource.
Side-eyed you. I'm side-eyeing you hard, but go ahead.
So conflict is a natural resource. And the reason why conflict is a natural resource is because it is something that is needed to be able to produce certain aspects that we want in our work environment. As far as collaboration and teamwork, you don't get those things without going through some level of conflict. You can't say, I want to be a patient person, right? And then as soon as there's chaos and you are actually supposed to demonstrate patience, you walk out of Walmart because the line is all the way down. No. Patience says that you're going to tolerate and accept delay without getting upset, which means you're going to sit in that line. You're not going to yell. You're not going to start counting people items to make sure they have the correct amount of items. And so you can't get these type of attributes as far as trust and loyalty and collaboration and peace. You won't be able to get those attributes if you don't go through something. And so conflict, when you have the healthy tools to be able to understand what the root of the conflict is, right? And then how do you ensure that the conflict doesn't escalate? And then what are some managing tools to de-escalate if it gets there? A lot of those different tools, and because if I actually went through every single one of them, this cast will actually go for another hour and a half. That is actually something that I give practical strategies to be able to empower your team to run to conflict instead of running from conflict.
I get it to an extent. So I get it from a project. For those who don't know, my background is in project management, IT project management. Conflict is needed on projects.
Yes.
I totally get that. But I'm honestly having a hard time, full transparency here. Yes. I'm having a hard time understanding that outside of projects. You know what I mean? Outside of the responsibilities that we have in our careers and our jobs, let's just say interpersonal relationships at work.
Yes.
How is that good? I'm playing devil's advocate there, because I really want to touch on two things. A toxic work environment, because I talk about that a lot, where sometimes we as women, we put up, deal with. How do you discern healthy conflict from toxicity?
Right. So those are very two different things.
Okay.
Right?
Help me understand.
Because it takes a certain level of social awareness.
Okay.
To know when to approach conflict and when to disengage with that conflict. All conflict shouldn't be done at a specific time, especially when the emotions are high. It takes a socially aware person to be able to read the room. And if they see that the emotions are high, they have to say, you know what? I got to give this at least 24 hours. I got to give this at least. And so sometimes people have difficulty being able to provide that level of space because they want it taken care of now.
Yes.
But emotional intelligence is going to recognize the scenario and recognize that we are in a heightened state of mind emotionally. The intensity is there. Mm-hmm. And so although it is great to resolve the conflict, right now is not the best time when everybody is already at a heightened state of emotion.
It takes, dare I say, control. Who in the room understand? In the chat, please, somebody put some type of emoji of one or two, something. Can you understand where I'm coming from with this? Because it does take control. You can be in an environment. It doesn't have to be toxic. You know, we don't have to go to that extreme, but there can be, Crystal feels me, she gets
100%.
And Waverly, right? You can be in situations, and maybe I'm not defining, or my definition of conflict is at 100, when it doesn't necessarily have to be that.
Right.
You know, sometimes it's situations. Let me give you an anecdote. I worked with a company. I was with a company, and you know, I was lead in a very large integration project, and it took a lot of energy
Yes.
And that's where my growth and skills came in with what I now know as emotional intelligence, in that, because it took a lot to learn how to deal with people who were not used to someone who looked like me in the role that I was in, giving direction and making critical decisions.
Yeah.
I literally was in a meeting and someone in a fairly high position, I want to say we were peers, got up and asked me, "Who the hell do you think you are?" In the meeting, like I could write a book on some of the things that I have been through, but it was a turning point in my career. Because Jackie, privately, personally, for those who know me, that conversation, it wouldn't even have been a conversation, right? So what I had to do in that moment, I had to literally step outside of everything that I knew and professionally present in that situation as the leader and disband the meeting, did not confront, didn't walk away, but I didn't confront. And I, you know, basically said, when you're ready to have an adult, I don't even think I use the word adult, but when you're ready to have a conversation with me, I'll be in my office and we can reconvene this meeting at a later date.
So Jackie, I like what you're saying, because I think women, and not all women, so I want to make sure I don't paint a broad brush. But we are used to being in control to a certain degree, right? And a lot of the times, one of the things that we have to just be aware of, if there is anything that someone says or does that becomes a trigger, at that point, it's not on the other person. It's on you to find out, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Something is going on here where if it was another person that was there, I can't guarantee that they would have had the same response. So what is going on within the inside of me as it relates to control? As we begin to do the self-regulation, begin to understand exactly what emotion are you feeling in that moment? When do you remember first feeling that emotion when it related to control? Once you begin to walk those things back, you'll realize it's not the person. It is the self-work within that is driving your emotions for that specific event. So a lot of times as women, you know, there has been some things that have happened in our life where now we feel, because control was taken away from some people, now they feel like they need to control everything. And so when someone says, no, I'm going to control this situation, it's like, who do you think you are? You're not going to talk to me this way. You're not going to act this way. And the guy's like, I'm your supervisor. I'm your leader. It comes with a certain level direction. But it has nothing to do with the leader in a sense, because then you give the leader too much power.
Yeah.
When you end up reacting in a way without getting clear of really what may be driving that intense emotion.
It's really, this is really interesting, because as coaches, we know there's not that quick fix.
No.
It's the work you do way before you get to the situation, the job, sitting in front of your manager, sitting in front of your boss, your peer, your coworker. It starts so far back, you know, and it's like, I'll have some clients, excuse me. I'll have some clients who want that quick.
Yes.
I'm like, guess what? No, you're not even ready for that. Right. You know what I mean? Right. You're trying to jump leaps and do all of these leaps and bounds to get to a certain place. And it's, let's take baby steps.
Yeah.
You know,
because you don't know what you don't know.
You don't know.
But a lot of us think that we are self-aware. Tasha Urich, which is a psychologist, she's done several TED Talks. She's written books. She did research on self-awareness, and she said 95% of people think that they're self-aware. They think they know. They think they know them. They think they know other people. They think they know the situation. They think they know all the perspectives of the room. But when she actually did the research of asking the same question, not only to them, but to their friends, to their family, to their coworkers, she did somewhat of an assessment. The result of that assessment indicated that only 10 to 15% of those 95% of people were actually aware. Well, that says a lot. Travis Bradbury, in that same Talent Smart Emotional Intelligence 2.0, when he did the research on over 2 million workers, out of the research of self-awareness, said only 34% of the time are people able to recognize and identify what they're feeling in the moment. At the same time, emotions drive 80 to 90% of the decisions that we make. So can you imagine the implications there where we're only recognizing it 34% of the time, but it's driving 80 to 90% of the decisions that we make. And that's why this is a skill set that you can't just put a Band-Aid on and think that all of a sudden you got it. This is an ever-evolving and growing journey that you are going to do for the rest of your life. But there are some fundamental things that you can learn that will kind of give you the foundation that you will need to have some tools as you go on the journey, because it just makes the journey a little bit lighter when you pack the right things in your suitcase.
Define self-awareness.
Self-awareness is being able to identify and recognize your moods, your emotions, and how they impact others.
I think that's key, and how they impact others.
Yes, because we can only see from one perspective at a time. We can only see from one. Now, we can ask people questions to find out what is their perspective, but we can only see one at a time. And a lot of people think if you don't see things the way that they see things, then there's something wrong with you. When there are so many different personality types that are out there, what makes the way that you see it fact and the way that I see it wrong? Hmm. So you gotta also understand personality types, and that's something that is interwoven into self-awareness when I train self-awareness with my emotional intelligence foundational skills package.
There's so much.
You have no idea how much I'm holding back here.
There's so much here, and I want to open up to Q&A. And I'm almost afraid to ask this question because I think this can be a whole other conversation about the feeling of stuckness or feeling stuck.
Yeah.
I'll touch a little bit on that
because I know we're going to go into Q&A, like you said. But have you ever felt like you have been trying to do the same thing for years, and for whatever reason, you just can't get over the hump? You're starting well, and then all of a sudden it fizzles out. And all of a sudden you start to question, what's going wrong? Why am I stuck? How come I can't progress? Well, one of the things that I encourage people that, of course, take the course that are stuck, one of the things that I look to send them on a journey to do is begin to do the introspective work. Well, how do you begin to do the introspective work? Before you ever do anything, it starts in your mind first. This is why emotional intelligence is so important. So you got to begin to navigate, why am I getting stuck? What are you looking to achieve, right? Let's say, for instance, you're looking to achieve, you want to lose 15 pounds. I don't know. But let's say it's you're looking to achieve 15 pound weight loss, right? You got to start thinking, because all of this is introspective work that you have to do before you actually start your journey, right? So what are you looking to achieve? I want to lose 15 pounds. What has stopped you in the past from being able to accomplish your goals, right? What are some of the things that you tell yourself, which is self-talk, and I go into detail about self-talk. What are some of the things that you end up telling yourself that stops you from being able to accomplish what you want to accomplish? What are some barriers that you've put in place that when you do fall, you'll still show a level of empathy to yourself? What is going to be driving you to continue to get up and go exercise? And so there is an introspective work that you have to do to be able to get unstuck. And so in the foundational course, I walk through with people specifically that level of introspective work. So that way they have some tools to be able to get unstuck, because that also is a journey. And one of the driving forces why people are unstuck is because they feel in some type of way. I don't feel like going to the gym today. I don't feel like exercise. I don't feel like watching what I'm eating. Well, motivation can only take you but so far.
Right.
What is going to drive results is going to be your discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Where motivation drops you off, discipline will pick you up. And that is one of the things that we have to understand, because at the end of the day, if you want to lose 15 pounds, one day you're going to feel like doing it on Monday, but on Tuesday, you're not. But discipline says, get up on Tuesday, get up on Wednesday, get up on Thursday. And if you do that enough, you're going to create a habit. And that's going to be the driver of your ultimate success, not feeling motivated, but being disciplined in what you do and how you do to achieve your ultimate goal.
Preach. Preach, because it's discipline. And I think also consistency.
Absolutely.
You know, discipline and consistency. There's so much with this topic. And we, you know, we really just touched the surface.
Yes.
With it. Because you can go deeper.
Jackie, I want to give one more thing. And thank you so much. Thank you, High Achievers Group, for welcoming me into your sisterhood. Not just saying it's all women, but for welcoming me. I am honored that I get the opportunity to really begin to share some of this information with you. One of the things that I really learned a part of this journey is never, ever, ever allow someone else to take your power by not communicating what you feel and what you need because of their reaction. Never close your mouth because of how they are going to respond. The way that they respond and the way that they react, that's on them.
Respect, that's not your business.
Honor yourself.
Yeah.
As a human being, and say what you need to say in love, with kindness, regardless of how they are going to respond. And I had to learn that, you know, all the time and in so many different things, a lot of the times we don't communicate because we know this person is going to respond this way, and we get lost. And we're like, we wake up one day and then we're like, where am I? How did I get here? What am I going to do? It's because you didn't communicate your needs and your wants. So if there's one thing I ask you guys to take away for today, communicate what you need and what you want, because just like Jackie said a moment ago, you teach people how to treat you. Be blessed. I was so inspired to be a part of this podcast this evening.
Thank you so much, Joanna. Thank you so much. And thank you guys for participating, those who joined live, those who are watching on the replay. Please leave your comments and questions as well. We'll definitely get to them, answer them. And I just want to leave you with this. If you have a friend or a colleague who is a high achiever, please do not be selfish. Please let them know about the group, you know, because it's a community and it's growing and we're building. I'm doing so much to help level the field. And I don't want to say playing field, but just to help level set with us. And my target, my passion is working with women. Men are welcome. I have men on my roster, but it's just really what I have seen over the past 25 years in my career and not having the mentorship that I needed early in my career. And even throughout my career, you know, not having that, knowing what I know now and how important it is to have that. That's why I do what I do, right? So I want you to just think about any colleague or friend who can definitely benefit from the mentorship, the coaching, the resources that Joanna has, the resources that I have, and the guests that will be coming on over this summer and through the rest of the year. It's here for you to absorb, to take, and not just to have, what do they call it? Shelf help, to literally take the information and do something with it, because you're here for a reason. You came in tonight because you wanted to hear a message for a reason. Like, there's something that resonated with you. And I know, even though if you didn't have questions, I know something resonated with you, right? So I want you to think about some of your friends and colleagues who can definitely benefit. Send them the link and invite them in to C-Suite, Jackie Mitchell, careerconsulting.com. And again, if you're watching on the replay, leave us your comments and questions as well. We will definitely get to you. Thank you, everybody, for joining. This was amazing. I had so much fun. Sometimes I have too much fun. I'm going to get it together. We're going to get it together, all of us, because it may seem like, you know, you look at people and you say, oh, she has it together. She's this, she's that. I'm a coach and I still have, there's points along the way where I'm like, okay, I need some help. Yes. I need some help with this. I need some help with that. And it's okay to ask for help. And I just want to impart that with you. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay also to feel stuck.
Yes. Yep.
I could go on again. I could just, let me end it here. It's okay. It's okay. Give yourself
because you're about to get me started. Talking, you know, we think emotions are bad, and emotions is not good or bad.
You need both of them.
And you, so, Jackie, please stop, because
you know
other things than me, and you know I'm trying to contain myself already. So.
We're going to continue the conversation. We're going to continue the conversation, whether it's on a live or another podcast or in conversation in the group. Look out for that.
Yeah.
So thank you all. Be blessed. Have an awesome rest of your evening. You could have been anywhere, but you chose to be here with us tonight. Thank you, guys. Have a good evening, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If what you heard resonated with you, please feel free to join us in High Achievers Level Up to take part in our special expert panel of guest speakers live, where you have an opportunity to network with them and ask your questions in our live Q&A. Our Q&A sessions are held within our community and accessible to all members. If you'd like to take part, please join us today. You'll find all links in the show notes below. Thank you for listening, and be sure to catch us on the next episode of Bench Talk.